two words that if somebody would have said to you a year ago, they would have said, our country is going to be divided along these two words. You would have said, you are crazy. There is no way. And those words are mask and vaccine. You don't even know what a vaccine was until COVID came along. You're just like, I don't even care. I don't need it. So what's the point? I didn't even know you could buy a mask. And then now you can get them in convenience stores and everywhere. And you've had them in the console of your car and all over the floor. Come on, somebody say it. Yeah. And you drive up to a restaurant and you're like, do I have to have one? Do I not have to have one? It has become a very divisive thing. Now, listen, I'm just going to say this up front. Get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine, wear the mask, don't wear the mask. That's where I'm at on this. But there is something really important that we need to focus on as the church. Because this thing has divided the church world like never before. We got enough stuff going on to divide us without getting divided over these things. Now, I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to you and me, the church. Now, we got to be careful that we are being an example of Jesus. Now, we've got to make sure that we are honoring God in everything we do. Now, the Bible talks about unity so much. It talks about making sure that we are unified. The Bible believes that unity is so important that Jesus himself said, they will know you are my disciples by the way you love each other. Now, this is important. That you, not by how you look, not by where you go to church. He didn't say not by if you go to church. He said, they're going to know that you are my disciples, one step above just a believer. A disciple is somebody who's all in, who says, I truly want to follow Christ with my whole heart. He said, they're going to know you're a disciple because of the way you love one another. Now, so there's 9 trillion people on Facebook this morning screaming about masks and screaming about vaccines, okay? Now listen, we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in the liberal conservative. If you see somebody with a mask on, you go, they're liberal. Come on, I'm just going to be honest. Let's just have a family meeting this morning. You see somebody walk in a restaurant and you go, well, he's a conservative because he didn't even have a mask. We immediately become judgmental. He's red, he's blue. She's Democrat, she's Republican, she's in that ethnicity, he's in that ethnicity. We have enough stuff to divide us. Satan is loving this. Satan is just, I think, at this point, I think he's just found a shade tree and he's just laughing. He's like, my work is done. I have made these people hate each other because of a 3x5 size piece of fabric. I think he's loving it. Watching us and how we are responding to each other. Division in the church is always a tool of Satan. There's no other way about it. Now, I'm not directly speaking about Grace Point. I'm talking about the church world in general, because I think we have a responsibility during this time to make sure that we are being a light and we're not putting out other people's light. That we're lighting candles and not extinguishing candles. Now, I'm going to read you a heavy scripture here, all right? You listen, you got to love me to get to heaven, so here's the way it goes, all right? This is God writing this stuff, not me. I'm just repeating. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These 6 things the Lord hates. Let's start right there. When the Bible says God hates something, you really need to pay attention. Because you don't want to end up on the wrong side of one of these. So he says 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7, or the 7th one, is an abomination to him. Now, an abomination would be, there's more elaborate definitions, but an abomination would be an atrocity, a disgrace, a horror, an obscenity. And he says the seventh one is that. So he starts off, and think about your body, all right? Think about, it's talking about your body and your body functions, your body parts. Watch this. A proud look. He's talking about your face. He hates a proud look. Have you seen that look? If you have a mask or don't have a mask, and somebody's like. A proud look. A lying tongue. Woo. Some of us have been repeating stuff we read on Facebook, and we know it's a lie, but it backs up what we want to believe. All right, I'm going to leave that one there. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies. He goes back to the lying thing. We got to be careful. All right? And so a proud look, your face, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart, the inside, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. And he goes back again, a false witness who speaks lies. And then watch this one. Here's the abomination, the atrocity, the disgrace, and one who sows discord among brethren. He's building a picture for us of what this person would look like. If you were being accused of a crime, they would want the eyewitness to give a description of what you look like. This is the description of the criminal. Going down the list, a proud look. He had a proud look, officer. He had a lying tongue. He had hands that shed innocent blood. He had a heart that devised wicked plans. He had feet that were swift in running to evil. He was false. He was just a liar. He was the one who was sowing discord among the brothers. Now, I want you to notice something here. He said, God said he hates all these things, but the last one, the Bible says, is an abomination, and it says that he hates the one who sows discord among brothers. Now, I want to take this a step further, and this is hard, okay? When we sow discord, we fall into that category of the people that God hates. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to make sense of that. We talk about the love of Jesus all the time, but I'm showing us, we're looking right here at what the Bible tells us. If I sow discord, God hates me. Now, why would that be the case? Because if you mess with me, that's one thing, but if you mess with my family, it's going to be a fight. God is looking at all of us, his children. And when somebody comes in and starts trying to drive a wedge between two of his children, it upsets God. So much so that he says, you're disgraceful. We have a responsibility to make sure we are uniting the body of Christ. Listen, there are people in Afghanistan this morning that wish they had the problem of whether or not to wear a mask. Door to door, are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? They got real problems. When we focus on stuff that Satan is just dangling in front of us, causing us to create discord among our brothers, we have a responsibility to deal with it in our own heart. Now listen, here's what you're going to do. Don't think about who needs to hear this message that I'm going to share with you this morning. Don't be thinking about, boy, I know somebody on Facebook really needs to hear that. I want us to ask this question. How does this apply to me? What can I do about me? What is it about me that needs to be more like Jesus? How can I improve my spiritual walk? The Bible really tells us exactly how to handle these things. Now listen, the Bible doesn't... I've never read a scripture that says, thou shalt wear a mask. Or thou shalt not have a vaccine. It's just not in there, okay? But he gives us principles to live by. There are people in this room who've had the vaccine. There are people who haven't. People online, same thing. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. And we're all saying this is what we think is best for our family. And the truth is, we don't know yet which way will turn out to be best. We don't know how history is going to prove us right or wrong. But we have a responsibility to make sure that we do a few things. Ephesians is a book of the Bible that really talks to theoretical problems. In Galatians, Paul is dealing directly with legalism in the church. And 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with sin in the church. But when it comes to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has written this letter to the Ephesians, and it's not him addressing a particular problem. He's really saying problems in society will arise. Stuff is going to come up, and here is a list of things you can do and you should do to make sure that you will follow Christ even through all those difficulties. So you can look Ephesians up later. He was not responding to one single problem. He was saying, this is how you can deal with stuff. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to break this down a little bit. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Now, let's stop there. He said, I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord. He said, this thing, this relationship with Jesus, this grace of God has gotten such a hold on my life that I'm a prisoner. I'm in this for life and for eternity. I'm not going anywhere. I know what God has done for me, and I'm not giving that up. I will always be a follower of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a prisoner. I'm here, and I'm staying here. Now watch. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. He's talking to you and me. He's saying this is how we, the church, handle the problems that come our way. So we're going to break it down verse by verse, some of it word by word. Ephesians 4 and 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. To lead a life worthy of your calling. What's our calling? Well, I want to share a different version of Scripture with you. Same verse, different version. Look, let's take a look at it. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now watch this. That is, what's your calling? It is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. He's telling all of us, I want you to follow Christ. You have a calling on your life. The calling is not to convince the world to wear a mask or get a vaccine or don't do it. It feels like we have a holy war going on. And he said, look, you have a calling. You know all those things that we just read? You know what those things are? It's to be a light, to make sure that the world sees the light of Jesus in us. We have this weird tendency now, and I've fallen into it too, okay? So I'm repenting as I go on this one. We have this weird tendency to feel the need to prove our point to people who completely disagree with us. We have, and we'll go to any length to do it. All right, I'm just going to, you know, you're flipping through Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, whatever you do, and you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a little bit passionate about one side or another on the vaccine. And you're like, oh, here's something on the vaccine. Oh, it's one of those people. Never mind. All right, keep going. And then you get down, oh, look at here, oh. This is from my favorite TV personality. It's got to be true. Let me repost this with all caps and exclamation points. Because it's got to be true. The Bible says that it is our job. The last scripture, the first scripture we read, said God hates a lying tongue. We got to make sure that we're not just spreading somebody else's propaganda when all they're trying to do is make money. They're like, watch these people share this. We're going to make so much money today. We got to make sure that we're handling this the right way. We're living up to our calling. Here's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to move a little further. Always be humble and gentle. Always be humble. Humility just says I have a low estimate of myself. Not that I feel like I'm less than somebody else, but I don't feel the need to prove everybody wrong, or I don't feel the need to make sure I've been heard. It means that I put Christ first, others second, me third. That's all humility is. That I put Jesus first, I put other people second, I put myself third, that I just say I'm going to be a servant. A servant, all right? Going a little further to the next word in verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Always be humble and gentle. Now, how have I handled these controversies of masks and vaccines? Have I handled them with gentleness? Have I been the example that Jesus would be if he were here on earth? Now, it doesn't mean being a wimp and rolling over to any old opinion that comes along. You can be very opinionated and still be gentle. You can have your own opinion. That's great. I would be worried if you didn't have an opinion. But when we are dealing with people, and especially people in the church, when we're dealing with people in the church and out of the church, we have a responsibility to be gentle. Now, that word gentle is very simple. It's like a broken colt. That colt, that horse is still strong, still has all of the power within his muscles, but it's bridled now. Now he works for the master. He is gentle, still powerful, just gentle. Not a wimp, just gentle. Now let's move a little further. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Be patient with other people. Patience comes when we face tribulations, trials, the Bible says. Don't ever pray for patience, all right? Because the Bible says you're going to have to go through some stuff to get some patience. God's like, okay, unleash the hounds. You know, that's the way it is. Patience is tough, but he's telling us here to be patient with each other. Social media has given us a boldness that we otherwise wouldn't have. And so we say things and we do things. And even in conversations at work and church and other places, patience sometimes requires that we build relationships with people we don't like. It's real quiet in here. Patience sometimes requires that I build a relationship with someone I totally disagree with. That they're on the wrong side of the mask and vaccine issue. They're just dumb. But patience says, I have to build a relationship. I can't just judge them right there where they are. The Bible speaks a lot about judging other people. We project our perceived holiness onto other people. Here's what it does when I judge somebody. I'm the smartest guy in the room and you're a loser. That's what judgment is. I've got it all figured out and you're a failure. The problem with that is somebody else is looking at you and saying the same thing. You're a loser and I have it all figured out. And so then what has happened is Satan has divided every one of us into a million different corners. It's just not us and them. I end up all alone. I just end up all alone because I've divided and divided and divided until nobody can agree with me anymore. Be patient with each other. Now watch this. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Just look at somebody close by. You know, don't you say these two words. It's just two words, all right? Just look at them right now and say, I'm perfect. Now I'm not going to tell you what to say back to them, all right? It just feels ridiculous, doesn't it? Some of you are like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I can't tell somebody I'm perfect because I know too much about me to say I'm perfect. That's the only reason it's funny. When the scripture here says, make allowance for each other's faults. You know what he's saying? You're not perfect. They're not perfect. So we make an allowance. So you may look at somebody else and say, ooh, he's just dumb for not wearing a mask. That may be what you perceive as his fault, or vice versa, right? Make allowance for other people's faults and love them because of your, make allowance because you love them. Now, this is where it really, the rubber meets the road. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. He said, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Sometimes it's just difficult to keep ourselves united. I mean, we got people in this room right now that are Washington Redskins fans. I can't fix that. I wish I could. I wore some red shoes the other day and somebody said, you finally came over. I was like, I haven't worn those shoes since. Never. I'm just going to make allowance for that person's faults, all right? Not everybody was born. Listen, I was converted. I was not born a Dallas Cowboy fan. I was converted. You know, and it was there. I'm going to be honest with you, there was some pressure involved. When I first moved to Texas, I was like, well, okay, forget the Atlanta Falcons. I don't even know who they are anymore. I'm a Dallas Cowboy all the way. 25, 28 years later, whatever it's been, I'm all in, right? We all disagree about stuff. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in unity in the Spirit. Now, here's what I'm going to close with. I know this is not the message you came for this morning, but I hope you'll be okay with it. Here's the conclusion. Knowing it's important. I'm just going to read a few things that I think are important for us right now. Knowing the difference between truth and propaganda. What's the difference between truth and propaganda? Truth is eternal. Propaganda is somebody trying to get their way. Truth is eternal. You know, they used to tell you that fat and your French fries and hamburgers was good for you. There's videos of them saying, oh, it's just going to make things slide through your arteries better. That wasn't truth. That wasn't truth. What is truth? Let's focus on that. Never stake your reputation on hearsay. Never attach your soul to temporary philosophies. 20 years from now, no, I don't know if this mask is going to matter. So don't attach your soul to the mask. Never take scripture out of context to win an argument. I've seen some of this happening too. Nobody here, of course. Never take a scripture out of context to win your argument. As a matter of fact, don't even use a scripture to win your argument. Be gentle, build a relationship, show some patience, and win that person over with scripture, but don't slam dunk them in an argument. If you punch me in the face with a T-bone steak, it's not going to go down real well. But if you'll put it on a nice plate and present it to me, I'll eat that thing all day. Nobody wants to be punched in the face with the gospel. Let's present it to them in humility and gentleness and patience and love, living up to our calling. Don't confuse truth with opinion. Don't equate statistics with scripture. Never cause division within the body of Christ. Don't mistake your news feed for the good news. Make sure that the good news is always the good news, and we never get those mixed up. Don't build your house on the sand. Build it on the rock, the eternal rock. I haven't found anywhere in Scripture that tells me whether or not to wear a vaccine, but over or to wear a mask or get a vaccine. Don't wear a vaccine. All right. But it does tell me to live a life worthy of the calling God has on me. If I'm screaming about my opinion, I'm not getting anything done. But if I'm loving people with humility and gentleness and patience, man, that's the stuff that changes the world. That's the stuff that changes the world. If you say they don't wear masks at that place, and you don't have to go to that place. All right. But don't turn it into a fight. Can I be real honest with you right here? We're going to close in just a second. This has been one of the most difficult leadership issues I have ever dealt with. Trying to make sure that we are protecting people and giving people their rights at the same time and making sure that we do this the way that Jesus wants us to do it. There have been some decisions that have just been brutal. Just been brutal. And I'm really proud of Grace Point Church. I truly am proud to be a part of Grace Point Church because I haven't seen these fights brought in to here. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But there are people in other businesses and churches and organizations that are making these same decisions. And if you've never had to lead a group of people through decisions like this, withhold your judgment until you have. Don't judge their heart because they're trying. Oh, there's been some decisions come down from some of our officials that I think I wish I could change it. I want our officials to sit down like grown men and grown women and talk stuff out instead of fighting with it about it in the courts. Our job is to sit down together and work out solutions, not to fight and fight and divide and divide and divide. They may divide everybody in the world, but the job of the church is to unite the body of Christ. Our job is to love people and invite them in. Invite them into the love of Christ. Invite them in to the fold. But if we're judging them and screaming at them, we will never reach them. Love people and humility and patience and gentleness, and God will work in our lives. Live up to the calling God has on your life. That's all He's asking us to do. That's all He's asking. As a young pastor, I remember feeling some pressure that I wanted everybody to live for Christ. And I lived with this pressure of, and it was self-induced. I just wanted everybody to just grow in the Lord. And when somebody was doing something they shouldn't, it just hurt me on the inside. And it still hurts me today. But I understand this. I can't make you do anything, and you can't make me do anything. You are a child of God. I'm a child of God. My job is not to force you. Your job is not to force me. But our job is to love each other. So when I started to recognize that I could just love people wherever they were, it was like a weight was lifted off me. I encourage some of you, let go of the weight this morning. Just let go of the weight. Pray for them. I found that if I pray for the people around me, they are much more likely to move in the right direction than if I'm trying to push them in the right direction. You ever see that mom or dad in the grocery store and they're like dragging that kid along? The kid is screaming and angry and he's falling in the floor. And it's just an ugly scene. And they're just dragging them. Some of us are trying to drag people our direction. Can't do it. Love them. Pray for them. All right, let's stand together, everybody. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray. And if you are upset with me about this message this morning, wait 24 hours to email me. I am serious. Don't do it in the car on the way home. All right. Just give it a minute. Just give it a minute. And I'd love to sit down and talk later if there's somebody that would like to. I believe God knows where we are. God knew COVID was coming. God knew the struggles the church was going to face. He prepared us ahead of time. He didn't leave us out here forgotten and alone. He prepared us. He prepared us for this moment, right here, right now. And if our job, if we will accept our job, live a life worthy of your calling, if we'll accept that calling on our lives, it changes the way we live our lives. And God will use us. God will use us. God will use us. Now, the first time you love somebody who is adamantly opposed to your position on something, it's going to be a struggle. But I just want us to remember this. Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The people who were crucifying him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand the fullness of what's happening right now. And forgive them anyway." If we take that approach, it changes the way we handle everybody in our lives. So, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, if you're at home watching online or you're in the building and you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, it's time to start. Why in the world would you go through life without Christ? I really don't know how people do it. And they're just trying to do everything on your own, and I don't know how anybody does that. But if you're ready to surrender your heart to Christ, you got to admit that you've sinned, you believe in Jesus, and you confess him with your mouth. Is that simple? You just start. Believe. Admit. Believe. Confess. And God will meet you there. God will meet you there. So we're going to pray. I want you to pray for somebody who adamantly opposes your stance on vaccines and masks right now. We're going to get some Ephesians real going on right here. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for all your blessings on us, God. We truly are unworthy. We truly are unworthy of your grace. Lord, forgive us if we've put our opinions and thoughts above our calling. Forgive us if we've lived with a lack of humility or a lack of gentleness or a lack of patience. A lack of love in our lives, Lord, and just help us to put you first. Help us, Lord, to treat everybody the way we would treat you if you were standing in the flesh in front of us today. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. And we thank you. And we give you praise, and we receive all the good things you have. We know, God, you have so much good for your children. We just lean on you this morning and rely on you and trust in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Love them. Amen. 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 So I want you to think about somebody who disagrees with you and gets you a little bit agitated. Maybe that person's not sitting beside you. Just the person that irritates you just a little bit on social media or at work or wherever. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't pray that they would come to your side. Pray that God would touch their heart and pray that God would use you to minister to them. I believe if we do it, God's going to bless us for it. Wouldn't it be awesome as a church that we were the light that brings about revival in our nation because we love people we don't like? Because we love people who disagree with us. There will be times when you love somebody that you don't particularly like them or what they're doing. That's okay. Jesus had to deal with the same stuff. He loved people that were not real likable. And he cared about them no matter what. I believe God's going to use us. I believe he is. I believe he's doing something. All right. Father, thank you for what you're going to do as we go. We receive your help and your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for